Good morning, Saints. Before I begin, I want to wish all the beautiful ladies here this morning a happy Mother's Day. And I want to thank especially the most important mother that I know, my mom back home, and the one that I married. Happy Mother's Day, baby. I want to talk about this morning wrestling with God. Now, before I get into my lesson, I want you to understand that when we read Genesis chapter 32 and verses 24 and 4, when it says wrestling with God, it doesn't mean God, okay? It means God's messenger or God's angel. And the reason why I know this is because if you go to Hosea chapter 12 and verse number 4, the Bible clearly explains that this is not actually God, it's God's representative. I just want to make sure that I put that disclaimer out there so people don't get confused and think that the Bible is contradicting itself when it says that no man have seen God, and that how could Jacob wrestle with God and no man have seen God. So I just want to make sure I put that out there. Let's go to Genesis chapter 32 and start in that verse number 24. And the Bible reads, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the break of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, Jacob. And he said, 'Thy name shall be no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and has prevailed.'" You know, when I was reading these passages, and if you sit back and you think about these passages of scriptures here, you have to understand that why wrestling? You know, the Bible gives us a image of Jacob wrestling with God's representative. And you may ask yourself, why was Jacob wrestling? And why would God be wrestling with man, or God's representative be wrestling with man? But if you dig a little bit deeper, you'll understand that this is what we do as human beings. Is that, you know, we all throughout our lifetime wrestle with what God has purposed for us. Sometimes we don't understand what's going on in our lives, and that when difficulty happened in our lives, you know, we tend to wrestle in our mind, or when we have a problem going on in our lives and scripture gives us the answer, sometimes we wrestle with that, trying to understand what our purpose is and what God wants me to do in this moment. So don't think that that is weird that we have here Jacob wrestling with God's representative, because when we go through this lesson, my aim is for you to see that this section of scripture talking about Jacob wrestling with God's representative, it kind of reminds me of a life of a Christian. And that what happens to us and why we find ourselves wrestling through this life, and what it takes to become victorious. Now, before I get into my scripture, I just want to, for those who may be not Bible students and learning more about the Bible, why is this so important? Why Jacob is so important? Because if you understand, Jacob is a part of what we call the promise. Yeah, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15, God makes a promise as he's talking to Satan. He tells Satan that there's going to be a seed that's going to come into this world and eventually destroy Satan. And that God uses Abraham, and Abraham is the one that God uses to bring the seed into the world. And Abraham had a son named Isaac, and Isaac had a son named Jacob. So Jacob is very important when it comes to our salvation, because through Jacob's lineage, we see that through Jacob's lineage, we get what we call the children of Israel. That's why we call them the 12 tribes of Israel, because in the scripture, it tells us that God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. So we know that even today, as we stand here today, even though those individuals that live in the physical country Israel are not the true Israelites, but that name still exists today. That the story of Jacob is very important. It's very important for us to understand, because Jacob had 12 sons, what we call the 12 tribes of Israel. And these children that Jacob had formed the basis of what we call the Israelites. In fact, if you go to Exodus chapter 1, it tells you that Jacob and 70 other souls, including Jacob, goes into Egypt. And there, that's when the children of Israel start to multiply. So we see that Jacob is very important when it comes to God's plan to make Israel a great nation, and that from that nation, then the Savior would come. So the story of Jacob is very important for us to understand. But what we see in these passages of scriptures, we see that Jacob is wrestling with God's representative. And, you know, it reminded me, you know, as I was reading and studying that when I was a kid, that, you know, one of the highlights when I was a kid growing up in the 70s and 80s is that I used to wake up Saturday morning just to watch wrestling. You know, I remember those famous wrestlers like Ric Flair and all those Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant and the Junkyard Dog. All of these characters that entertained me when I was a kid watching wrestling. But when we read these scriptures in the Bible, yeah, they were fixed. These guys were individuals, and they were real individuals. But as they wrestled, everybody know that wrestling is acting. That this is not true wrestling. But the wrestling that we're going to talk about this morning is the truth. And it affects each and every one of us. There is not a man or woman here standing here can truly say that they not at one time in their life wrestled with God's plan for them, or had a lack of understanding what God wanted them to do. See, that's the goal. See, if you think about Jacob's life, and when I dug deeper and I studied these passages of scripture, Jacob is the perfect person to have this happen to him. Because in Jacob's whole entire life, he wrestled. Remember that the first time we were introduced to Jacob, he didn't exist in the world, but he was in his mother's womb. And the scripture tells us in Genesis chapter 25 and verse number 22 that Rebekah was concerned because things were going on in her womb. And God tells them that there's a struggle going on inside the womb. So before Jacob was born, he was wrestling. Not only that, is that during the birth that Esau was born first. And what was Jacob? Holding on to the heel. So we see that Jacob's life has all been about wrestling and struggle. We know that he wrestled with his brother Esau and wrestled with his father Isaac when he took the blessing from his brother Esau by deceiving his father. We know that he wrestled when he left and he fled and he went to his uncle's house, and that he had problems there because he tried to marry his wife, and that he had to marry the sister too. And not only that, is that he wrestled with his uncle as to the herd. And so Jacob's life has been full of wrestling. So it's no wonder that God put this passage of scriptures in there. But this morning, what we're going to do is that we're going to look and see how it plays in our lives today. That how does these passages of scriptures can be instrumental as to us learning how we ought to approach things as we walk through this life. That we all are going to wrestle. And that we have to understand that is the part of God strengthening us to get us where he wants us to be. So let's go to Genesis chapter 32 and verse number 24. Listen what it says here. It says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And he saw that he prevailed not against him, and that he touched the hollow of his thigh, and that the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now, again, we have to understand that wrestling with God is not anything new. We know that, you know, as I was studying this lesson, I came across Job. And I was reading Job chapter 9, verses 25 through 34. And we all know what happened with Job and that all the things that was going on with Job. But we see an example of Job wrestling with God, trying to understand what was going on. It got so bad for Job that in Job chapter 9 and verses 25 through 35, we see Job is actually asking for a lawyer. He asks for a lawyer because he asks for a mediator because he wanted to make sure that God was playing fair. That's how bad it got for Job. That things were happening in his lives and he couldn't understand it and he couldn't understand God's plan for him. He wrestled as well. But let me show you somebody that we all revere. Matter of fact, that he's the savior of the body. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. Let's read about Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 26, starting at verse number 38. Matthew 26, starting at verse number 38. Listen to what it says here. It said, then he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. Now, give you a background, what's going on. This is the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is about to be betrayed, and he's about to face the cross. Okay? And it says here, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here as ye watch with me. Listen to what the verse says. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, is it possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. You see, our own Savior, Jesus Christ, wrestled. Not that he was afraid of death, no. What he wrestled with is that we have to understand that when Jesus was on the cross, he took the punishment of the entire world. He took the wrath of the entire world. And that had to be wrestling through his mind as to what is going to happen when he get on the cross and that all of this is about to happen to him. But nevertheless, we see that our Savior said, let God will be done. You know, so that's the type of mentality that we need to have, is that as we wrestle with the things that happen in our lives, and you know, I have to speak from experience here, because this past week I got news about a young man that have come here, a young teenager, 18 years old, that used to come to my class, that I used to come and pick up. And sit down and study with him and his father. Study with their family for 2 years. That young man took his life this week. Committed suicide. Because he was wrestling with something. And couldn't find the answer. So when I was bringing this lesson, the thoughts of him was going through my mind. As I talked with the father yesterday, consoling him over the phone, I was thinking about this lesson. As his father tried to wrestle in his mind, understanding why. So saints, we all are going to go through some things. Each and every one of us are going to go through difficulty. Each and every one of us are going to be questioning what's going on. And we need to understand this is way of God disciplining us. We go through things because he's training us. Turn with me to James. James chapter 1. Why do we need to wrestle? James chapter 1. Because it's a way of God strengthening us. James chapter 1. And I'm going to start at verse number 1. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brothers, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. patience. God lets us go through things. Why? Because he's strengthening us. And you may ask yourself, what is he strengthening us for? Well, if you stay in chapter 1, you get to verse number 12. Drop down to verse number 12. This is what God is exercising us for. This is why we wrestle, right, with the difficulties in life. Listen what it says here. Blessed is a man that's endured temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust is conceived, brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. See, the first passage of scriptures that I read, James chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, this is God strengthening us, letting us go through things and having difficulty so that when we get to verse number 12, we'll be strong enough to resist temptation. This is why we go through things. This stuff ain't easy. You know, no matter how people in the world view Christians, they think that we're some type of weak-minded people. We are very strong people, the strongest. Because we know that we have faith in our God. And that although the things that happen to us in this world, we hold on to his unchanging hand. So don't lose hope. Just because each and every one of you, you may be wrestling with things right now in your life. Just as Jacob did. Let's turn back and let's talk a little bit more about Jacob. Let's look a little bit more about some of these passages of scriptures that we're reading. Now, notice that in verse number 25, listen what it says here, and I'm going to repeat it again. It says, when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. I don't know about you, but when that thigh goes out of joint, that's probably one of the most painful things in the world. Here's the thing I want you to understand is that the femur bone, the thigh bone, is the strongest bone in the body. And there's no way that when you if your femur bone is dislocated from your hip, right, there's no way you're able to wrestle. No way. Can you think about the pain? But he was still able to wrestle. What God is showing us there that when Jacob was wrestling with his representative, that it wasn't by Jacob's power alone, that it was by the power of God, that he was able to wrestle, broken, his hip was dislocated, but he still was able to wrestle with this individual. Everybody turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, because I think sometimes we get confused as to when we incur problems and that things happen in our lives that we can fix it on our own. But listen what Paul, as he's writing to the church at Ephesus, listen what he says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Listen what it says here. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in what and who? The Lord. In the power of what? His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And look at verse number 12. For we what? Wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against powers, against ruler of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. See, what God is telling us with Jacob, he's saying and showing us that in order to win this wrestling match, we don't rely on our own power, on our own strength. We rely on God. Not only that, in verse number 11, he says, and be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, that word wiles is the devices, right? The devil, when he comes at you, it's a strategy. He don't come at you like some haphazard being. He has a purpose. He has a strategy. And in order to be able to stand, in order to be able to fight, in order to be able to wrestle, it's not by your own might. It's by the might of God. So God is telling us through Jacob that, hey, when you're going through difficulties, don't think you can solve it yourself. Don't think nobody else can solve your problems. I'm the source. I'm the source that's going to get you through whatever things you're going through in your life. So he's showing us that we need to rely on him. That as we wrestle throughout our lives, that our source and our power and our strength is not in us. That our source and power and strength is through the Almighty God. Turn with me. Let's go back to Genesis. Let's read a little bit more. Have you noticed that it was the thigh bone? And you may ask that, brother, what does that have to do with Jacob? Well, you know, if you study Jacob, right, Jacob had a little problem, right? Jacob had a problem. And Jacob's problem was Jacob liked to run away from things, right? We see that when it came to as his brother Esau was seeking to kill him because he tricked his father from his birthright, what did Jacob do? He fled. When he was at his uncle's house and that his uncle wasn't treating him right and things of that nature, what did he do? He fled. You see, so we see that the dislocating of the thigh bone was showing Jacob that you can't run away from all of your problems. We have to face them head on. We can't run. God do not like cowardness. Now, it's okay to be fearful. See, that's the difference, right? It's okay to be fearful. But he doesn't like cowardness. He doesn't like when you're in the heat of battle, you turn around and walk away. And scripture after scripture after scripture shows and proves us that. That God is saying that I'm with you. How many times has the Israelites, God has told the Israelites that he was with them and they showed cowardness? As Christians, we have to understand it's okay to be scared. It's okay to have some type of uncertainty. That's human. But what God is showing is that I got your back. So we have to understand that what he's showing us here is that we can't run away from our problems. We can't outrun our problems. We're just going to run from one problem to the next. That's just the way it is. So we're not going to be able to outrun our problems. Let's turn back with me back to Genesis chapter 32. And listen what it says here. It says in verse 26, and it says, and he said, let me go, for day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. I want y'all to understand something. If you ever had, if you ever wrestled somebody, now you try wrestling somebody for like 5 or 10 minutes, you're going to be wore out. You're going to be tired. These individuals wrestled all throughout the night. What God is showing us, he's showing us that we need to endure. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. And every time I think of the scripture, I know that, you know, the brother didn't invent the scripture, but it reminds me of Brother Joe, because he brings this up all the time. And that in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, listen what it says here. It says, fear none of those things which thou hast suffered. Behold, the devil has come to cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto what? Unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That battle with Jacob, and it lasted all night. God is showing endurance. We have to hang in there. We have to endure to the end. I couldn't imagine wrestling in that, you know, the amount of time. Not only that, is that they were wrestling at night. Notice that when the man and Jacob encountered each other, it was at night. Darkness. And that they wrestled for a long period of time, and that we see God wanted us to endure. And, you know, we don't have time this morning, but if you get a chance, what I want you to do is that I want you to open up Hebrews chapter 12. And from Hebrews chapter 12 all the way, I would say, to about verse number 17. I want you, whenever you get time, I want you to read those scriptures. Because we always talk about running a race, right? We talk about running a race and that you know, Christ is the author and finisher, and that we need to be running a race. But if you continue on with the scripture, starting at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 3, he tells us how hard this race is going to be. He tells us that, guess what? That God is going to discipline you, that you're going to face difficulties, that it's going to hurt, right, as you're running this race. As a matter of fact, you continue reading, the Hebrew writer shows us, gives us an illustration of a marathon runner, and that this runner legs was wobbly, and that he was hunched over because he was tired. That is what pleases God. When you truly run this Christian race, oh, you're going to be tired. This is not for the weak. Because we face difficulties. Not only do we fight against the things of this world, but we fight against our own selves. We fight against our own selves. So we have to understand that as Christians that we need to endure. As Jacob endured, even though his hip was out of place, he endured all night. But we see that Jacob prevailed in the morning. When it gets dark, saints, just hold on. Hold on. We sing a song all the time, hold on to God's unchanging hand. That song was there for a reason. All right, let me go ahead and finish up. Turn with me back to Genesis chapter 32. And I'm going to start reading. I'm going to read verse number 27. Listen to what it says here. And it says here, it says, "And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob." You know, and I got to thinking about that. I'm like, okay, he asked him his name, and he said, Jacob. And what it reminded me of, it reminded me of Genesis chapter 27, when his father Isaac asked, was this Esau? And he said, yes. See, Jacob got it wrong then, because he tricked his father and gave him the wrong name. But here we see Jacob gets it right. That when he was asked who his name was, he said, Jacob. So we see that Jacob, he gets it right, that this time that when his name is asked of who he is, he doesn't give a false name. Because remember that Jacob's name, right, in itself, right, We the Bible tells us that it calls a trickster, right? That he was a supplanter, right? That his name meant that. But here we see that when the angel or the God's representative asks his name, he gives the right answer. But look what the blessing is. He blessed him, and look at the next verse. This is what it says here. And Jacob asked him, and he said, thy name shall be no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince thou hast thou power with God and with men, and thou hast prevailed. God changed his name. And those who want to understand what Israel means, it means may God prevail. You see, Jacob endured. He came into the situation one way, and he left a different way, a different individual. Because if you know the character of Jacob, you will see. If you study the character of Jacob, you will see, how in the world could God use a person like Jacob? How could he do that? But before you say that, I want you to look at yourself. Because from the things that I've done in my life, I also question myself, like, how in the world is God using me out of all the things I've done in my life? See, that's the love of God. And that he's showing us and giving us an example of Jacob to show us we're going to struggle. We're going to wrestle. But if you endure, there's a crown of life at the end. And notice that if you study this lesson, that the place of where they wrestled was right there at the edge of Canaan. And those who don't understand what Canaan means, the Canaan is the promised land. So Jacob had to wrestle. He had to fight. He had to endure in order for him to go into what we call the promised land. And it's the same with us today. We're going to wrestle, but if we endure and we're faithful, we'll be able to enter the promised land. So I hope that this lesson of Jacob wrestling will for those who are here, give us an understanding as to what the actual wrestling mean and that how it plays in our lives as Christians today. Now, maybe we have those who are walking throughout their life and that they've been wrestling with God and they seem to, they look everywhere. They go all over the world and everywhere trying to find an answer to what they're dealing with. Well, the answer is right in front of you. And if you can hear the sound of my voice this morning, you're in the right place. You're in the right place. If you've been walking around this world aimlessly, not knowing what God's plan for you is, you're in the right place. Or maybe that you're lost and that you want to be a child of God and that you want to be able to understand and be able to fight against the wiles of the devil. Well, you can do that if you believe. Do you believe Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for your sins? And if you do believe, then you must recognize that, hey, the life that I was living, I was going in the wrong direction. I need to repent and change direction. Are you willing to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, meaning that I'm going to dedicate my life to him? And lastly, are you willing to get in that watery grave of baptism to wash your sins away, to add you to his body? And like Brother Joe says, and like Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10 says, live faithful unto death and earn that crown of life. Or maybe you have walked away. Maybe that you were wrestling and that you ran away from the wrestling that you were having in your life. Well, you can get that right. You can come up here and we will pray for you and that you know the prayers of the congregation will pray for you so that you'll be strengthened and understand that we all are fighting together. And those who are here that have not put on Christ in baptism, please think about what you're doing. Think about what you're doing. Do not let this opportunity go by. Life is precious. Time is precious. And this moment is your time as we stand and sing the song of invitation.